Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. Welcome to another exciting edition
song worth singing. I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And today's date is August the 8th, 2018. As we indicate in other shows, it's amazing how fast time flies. And this is episode 78. And you are listening to your host, Ronald Bethea, on the airways of Blog Talk Radio. And you know, if you join us on the regular basis, you know the slogan for our show. If it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative captures that power for your financial benefit. And you know that this show is brought to you by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, which is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American solar installation companies to address the economic effects of high energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities around the nation, to utilize Black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop initiatives for capacity for solar installations, to bring down the under and unemployment numbers among our young African American, millennial, and Z population now in the workforce. Also, to educate the Black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black community through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. This show is also brought to you by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSHBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Please click on our GoFundMe link and you'll be able to get all of the detailed information concerning that radio initiative, which you happen to be listening to as we say we speak on the airways of Blog Talk Radio, when we're streaming live over Twitter, Link, Instagram, Face, all forms of social media. This show is also brought to you on a weekly basis by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production, online and traditional, newspaper production, online and traditional, speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management, and contact information, that is Scotton, S-C-O-T-T-O-N, communicationsnetwork.com. Once that's S-C-O-T-T-O-N, Scotton, communicationsnetwork.com. And that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay. Well, 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 as I indicated earlier, when we first, as we said, tuned up the mic, we have a very exciting show today. But you and our listening audience, you know that this show is all about you. So you can reach us by dialing 646-668-2948. That's 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number, because you will be in our green room and we want to bring you on into our studios and hear what you have to say on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America, because we deal with all forms of energy in the energy industry. And believe me, everybody's got to pay their utility bills. But today's subject is, for our topic of discussion, tosses construction permits for Atlantic Coast Pipeline. A federal appeals court on Monday threw out a construction certificate for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, likely halting work on the $6 billion project planned by major southern utilities. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, located here in Washington, D.C., approved the project last year, but the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the certification was based on faulty right-of-way permits awarded by the National Park Service for where the pipeline would cross the Blue Ridge Parkway, a road in Virginia that is part of the National Park System. Now, this stuff here is, as the little boy can say, this stuff sure gets interesting. So when we begin to drill down and look at this issue about this pipeline, now, people all over the country have been raising hell about this, not the country, but on the East Coastline, have been raising hell about this pipeline coming through of the Atlantic Coast. And when we began to look at the stakeholders in this thing, as I indicated, continued construction of the line would violate the FERC, which stands for the Energy Regulatory Commission Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity. The court warned the environmental groups pushed FERC to issue a stop-to-work order for the entire line, as it did last week for the Mountain Valley Pipeline. Developers said they would push NPS to promptly reissue the permits to cross the parkway. Monday court ruling is a significant setback to developers of the 600-mile Atlantic Coast Pipeline planned by Dominion Energy, Duke Energy, and Southern Environmentalist advocates and local land owners argue that NPS permits to build the pipelines ignores how tree clearing would impact this significantly, and the conservation goals of the parkway, a nearly 500-mile road that runs through Virginia and North Carolina. Now, this thing is going to play havoc as we say in the heartlands, when we begin to talk about the state of North Carolina and Virginia, because you have to understand, these are huge agricultural states. The court sided with the complaints, ruling that the decision on the Blue Ridge is not accompanied by any explanation, let alone a satisfactory one. The court sided with the complainants, ruling that NTS's decision on the Blue Ridge is not, as I said, accompanied by any explanation, let alone a satisfactory one. The ruling means that there's a hole in the 600-mile pipeline now that it has no right to cross, said DJ Kirkland, attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center that argued the case. The project is planned to run from West Virginia to deliver gas to customers in Virginia and North Carolina. In the same decision, the court also detailed the justification for many rulings that invalidates permits issued by the Fish and Wildlife Services for the Atlantic Coast because they did not properly assess the impact of the project on five animal species covered by the Endangered Species Act, because FERC, which stands once again for your Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, was not party to the case, with Pettit Environmentalists versus NPS and NWS. The court could not order FERC directly to issue a stop to work order for the Atlantic Coastline Pipeline. It did, however, issue a stern warning to the pipeline developers that they should stop building. FERC authorization for the ACP is to begin construction is conditioned on the existence of valid authorization from both FDS and NPS. Chief Judge Roger Gregory wrote for the third judge panel to decide the case. Absent such authorization, ACP, should it continue to proceed with construction, would violate FERC Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, he stated in his ruling. With the certificate vacated, the pipeline cannot exist in its proposed form with its current authorization and instead would have to be reauthorized with new permits or probably a new route to proceed, Gregory added in the footnote. FERC declined to comment on whether it would issue a stop-to-work order for ACP, the ruling, but the pipeline lawyers say that one is likely. Late last month, the Fourth Court, Circuit Court vacated the federal permits for a separate project, a 300-mile Mountain Valley pipeline, that the decision was followed by a stop-the-work order last week. FERC issued a stop-the-work order for the whole Mountain Valley line after the right-of-way was denied, so I expected it could take some the same approach here, said Carolyn Elephant, the attorney who often represent the landowners in pipeline cases. The question now is, FERC is going to thumb its nose at the law or if it is going to stop construction of the pipeline. Dominion, lead developer on the project, said the statement that it has avoided construction in areas affected by the FWS ruling, but a July FERC decision allowed it to continue building on other sections. Man, they got a mess going on here. The company said it would continue to avoid the section of the pipeline route, which it says amount to 20 miles, but did not respond to a request or comment on whether it will continue building on the other parts that its certificates have been drawn out, have been drawn out. With respect to the National Park Service approval to cross the Blue Ridge and Parkway, the court's opinion confirms the agency's authority to issue the permits, but remands the permits to allow the agency to correct certain errors and omissions in the permit record. A company spokesman said in the statement, "We believe the extensive public record and mitigation requirements already in place provide a ample support for the agency to promptly reissue the permit. If the pipeline developers must face new decisions, Fierce then could face a less sympathetic commission than the one that approved their project last October." Republican Commissioner Robert Powell is set to step down this month, giving Democrats who are more critical of the pipeline application the ability to deadlock commission's decisions. Now you understand why it's important to vote. Buddy, there's a lot going on out here in this world. And whether it affects you directly or indirectly, if it's energy, it's going to cost you. That leads you to wonder what is actually going on. But as we say here on the platform of Solar Now in the Future with its economic impact on Black America, don't worry about it. We know we will see it on the utility bill first of the month with the rent. So we don't keep on churning out this information, because when you begin to drill down on this stuff, you can clearly see that this whole thing is all about politics. You got the Republicans in power in the Senate and the House right now, and they're basically with the daily national reality show taking place down at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and with the news can't get beyond 45 in his administration, they're not talking about these issues. And the mainstream media needs to start talking about some of these issues, environmental issues, because they're pocketbook issues, for real. And, I mean, I've got family and relatives in both states. So it does come home to roost. And people need to be concerned about what's happening in environments that affect communities outside of their communities, even though it may not impact directly, because they come for them first, then they come for you. And if you don't say anything when they come for them, then the next thing you find out, they'll be coming for you. I don't know if that made any sense at all, but you can join us on this platform at calling 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, we're going to, as a little boy, pause for the calls. We're going to shift gears and just a little bit on this plane.
Life is a song worth singing. I can choose. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay. And you know how you can reach us. You can reach us by dialing our calling number at 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. And please remember to dial 1 on your phone pad after dialing the call-in number. Now, as I indicated, we're shifting gears right now because we are going to pay a lot of attention around this renewable energy industry, especially when we begin to look at the EV revolution that's taking place in this country, which is going to cause a paradigm shift in transportation in this country, as well as large-scale utility farms as it relates to our historically Black colleges and universities, because they have done such a poor job, let me be very clear, on putting together the intellectual capital and people with vision at our historically Black colleges and universities to seize upon the large-scale commercial solar farm industry and the returns that they can have upon bringing down the high cost of energy at our historically Black colleges and universities. Now, I had the privilege of attending recent workshop, which was held, roundtable discussion, which was held at Morgan State University in Baltimore, Maryland. Now, this particular roundtable discussion took place on July 25th at Morgan State University. And it was very, very, very interesting to me that out of 104 historically Black colleges, you only have approximately about 8 schools that are members of this HBCU Colleges and Universities Clean Energy Initiative, which has been launched by an organization called the Clean Energy Collaborative, which is based out of Miami, Florida, by Mr. Ron Butler. You have a Ms. Keisha Campbell, who is an attorney, who, in fact, has been the point person here in the DMV market area that has, in fact, been at the forefront in this piece. But when we began to drill down on the issue of electric vehicles, and if you go to our website, you will find that there has been a report, recent report put out by the Department of Energy indicating that there will be a 38% increase in demand placed on the grid because of the high demand that for energy that is projected to come through this new revolution that's taking place in the U.S. But before these cars, which are projecting tremendous acceleration to be put placed in the marketplace, let's look at what's going on in Oregon. I'm going to read a little information, and then we're going to take off from there, and we're going to bring that home and look at what's happening here in the DMV area. The Oregon Supreme Court approved the issue of a privileged tax to fund the state's clean energy rebate program on Saturday after AAA Oregon, Idaho, and the Trucking Association Inc. challenged the tax in November of 2017, saying it violated Oregon's constitution. The program is integral to the Democratic Governor Kate Brown's 2017 initiative to address greenhouse gases and climate change. One of the goals of the initiative is to have 50,000 or more registered and operating electric vehicles in the state by year 2020, according to the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, Air Quality Planner Rochelle Shockey. The Clean Vehicle Program offers both a standard rebate option and a charge-ahead option for qualifying low- and middle-income customers. The standard rebate is $2,500 toward the purchase or lease of a new EV with a battery capacity of 10 kilowatts or more, and $1,500 with a battery capacity of less than 10 kilowatt hours. Charges ahead rebates are worth $2,500 to $5,000. Oregon's new rebate structure joins a host of other legislation and moves from states across the country, hoping to accelerate EV adoption to meet the carbon emissions goals. While many states like Oregon use policy in attempting to grow the EV market, the incentive customers other states have passed legislation in recent years to penalize EV drivers. Rebate programs were the second most common actions regarding EVs in 2017, following the consideration of additional fees, EVs because of the decline in the gasoline earnings, according to the 2017 50 States Electric Vehicle Report. Now, this is where the politics get involved in this thing again, and your lobbyists step into the game. Now, rebate programs were the second most common actions in EVs in 2017, following consideration of additional fees because of the decline of gasoline tax earnings, according to the 2017 50 States Electric Vehicle Report. I'm repeating myself, but I did that purposely. Environmental activists have argued state incentivization, they're taking the incentives out in part from big oil pressure, including a report $10 million annual campaign by the Knox brothers on EVs. Now, this report breaks down multi-million dollar assault on electric vehicles. Now, this is where the rubber really meets the road when you begin to drill down in this and you begin to see who benefits, because as we said, there will be winners and losers in this whole piece. So we have to look at who is benefiting and who is losing. And it's real interesting. This thing gets real, real interesting quick, because it shows you the role that the lobbyists play in everything we do from day to day. Now, I had the privilege of having the public policy director for the Neighborhoods United organization on my show. In late January, Mahoney moderated a seminar on changing the energy narrative at the Brothers twice a year repeat, the mega donors in California. The panel drew a mix of CEOs from big energy companies and other wealthy attendees in conjunction with the Knox brothers, bankroll numerous conservative advocacy groups. And last month, Mahoney and Devina had further conversation with NOC executives about new projects, sources says. Neither Mahoney or DERVINA returned multiple calls seeking comment about the new group. A NOC spokesman also did not respond to a request or comment. It's not clear when the still unnamed group will be launched, but energy industry sources predicted is likely to be up and running by this spring and summer, and that NOC Industries Foundation, allies, and nonprofit will be the lead financer. The fact that Jim Mahoney is leading the effort appears to indicate that it's being driven by businesses of NOC rather than the political operation that helped oversee the brothers' conservative advocacy empire, said one refining industry source familiar with the early plans. Now, these folks got, as we say, they got mint money. They got 14th Street money, where the money factory is. We call it U.S. Printing Office. This is what we call it. We call it the Knox brothers. And we ain't talking about just Knox. We talking about Fort Knox. So they got deep pockets. I think they're approaching all major independent refineries, added to the second industry source, to request immunity because he had not been authorized to speak above the private discussions. The group board mission will be to make public aware of all benefits of petroleum-based transportation fuels, he explains, adding the current administration of bias toward phasing out fuels. The war is on, y'all. This is war, and this is what I'm trying to say to our folks in the black community. We have to be aware of what is going on in our communities. DEQ hopes to encourage broader accessibility to EVs through a program which is intended behind the charge ahead component for low-income drivers. Shaka told the utility dive, because of the legal setbacks, the program isn't expected to be fully implemented for a few months, said Shaka. They hope to find more options for affordability once the program is implemented. The variations and rebates under the Oregon program depends on whether the vehicle is old or new, and whether the customer is leasing or purchasing. Qualifying LMI purchases can get up to $5,000 to purchase new vehicles. Other investments on the Brown's initiative include road, bridges, freight, and public transportation infrastructure, as well as efforts to reduce traffic congestion and biking more accessibility and incentives. Okay, we get all that. The same thing is happening here in the DMV market area. When we begin to drill down and look at what's going on locally, let's look at what's going on here locally here in this DMV area. Now, as I've indicated, yours truly, Ronald Bethea, who comes to you every week bringing you this platform, we, in fact, had the privilege of carrying and producing a show on the proposal that will be going over to the Public Service Commission in Washington, D.C. for approval to spend $15,419,650 over the next few years for EV infrastructure in Washington, D.C. But on the flip side of that, Nissan is offering a $5,000 rebate program in conjunction with Pepco. But the program is not being offered to D.C. ratepayers, as Pepco is proposing to spend $15.5 million over the next few years for infrastructure in D.C. Now, this information can be found on our website. Let me give you some more details on this rebate program. All new Nissan Leaf, world's so-called best-selling electric vehicle, 100% electric. We sent out an invitation to their representative at their Dallas Airport dealership, and she indicated that before she could come on the airways of this platform, she would have to get a clearance from corporate. We're going to actually read what corporate said, so in their response. But the $5,000 special rebate program for eligible customers included in selected states. Now, these are the select: Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, and Vermont. Damn! Has anybody ever heard of something called the District of Columbia, the nation's capital, with a population base of over 600,000 residents? Who Pepco charges and provides the electricity to? Looking at the fact that you got a shortfall of DC land-based solar and DC residents are paying, in 2016, they paid $15 million extra. In 2017, they paid $30 million extra. That's one issue, which is being passed on to the ratepayers via the compliance fee on their utility bills in the form of assessments. And it is driving people's electric bills through the roof. Now, here's an opportunity for an individual to take advantage of a rebate program if you got a job, okay? And if you don't work for Pepco, but if you're a DC resident, you can't even take advantage of this rebate program. Let's break this down. Proof of eligibility: present the participating Nissan to the Nissan dealer with the following proofs of eligibility: proof of current employment at Pepco, or a copy of your current utility bill from Pepco. Number one. Number two, a copy of both sides of this flyer. Now, I have the flyer, so if you weren't out at the event, how do you get the flyer? Okay. I'm not going to post it up on my site, Positive Change, but I would recommend that people Google this rebate program and see if they can download the flyer so you can access this information. This is a limited time offer which expires September the 30th, 2018. As a part of their effort to accelerate clean transportation alternatives throughout the United States, District of Columbia, not a part of the United States. Last time I checked, it was the nation's damn capital. Nissan North America, Inc. is offering eligible employees and customers of Pepco a special opportunity to purchase a all-new 100% electric 2018 Nissan Leaf with tax incentives, federal tax incentives of $7,500. State incentives may also be available. And in Maryland, it's up to $3,000 excise tax that you, if you register a new electric vehicle, you can take advantage of. So this thing has a lot of tentacles that should be made available to D.C. residents and Pepco ratepayers in the District of Columbia. Now, when we sent this information out, we were really originally trying to get a scheduled appointment with Mrs. Yvonne Porter, who is working at the Dallas Corner Park Nissan dealership, and she's with Nissan Mid-Atlantic region, and she's a very, very nice African-American lady that I met at the event up in Rockville. So we sent out a request, and she said she would have to get back to me. So when I did get a corporate response from Mrs. Janie Whited, "Dear Mr. Mathey, thank you for thinking of Nissan as a potential participant in this opportunity. I have discussed the matter internally due to the limited availability of our executives and other commitments already made. We will respectfully decline. I want to inform you as quickly as possible so that you can seek other guests for your show." That is Nissan's corporate response to me about joining this platform that you're listening to, solely now and the future, with its economic impact on Black America. So they have the right to decline an interview. Understand. But I just have a problem when Nissan, as a manufacturer, does not first have a dealership in the District of Columbia. That's a fact. Then you look at, you only have one dealership inside of the District of Columbia, which is Tesla, which is located at 9th and H, which we've also reached out to, and we've got the same type of response. When we contacted the Washington Dealership Trade Association, "Oh, we don't have any car automobile dealerships in the District of Columbia," because I began to raise some of these same issues around why these type of promotionals weren't offered to D.C. residents. And to say to me, "We don't have no dealerships there, ain't got nothing to do with the price of tea in China." You got 600,000 people living in the nation's capital, and they got over 100,000 vehicles registered with DMV. They don't manufacture the cars in the District of Columbia. Hell, they got to go into Maryland and Virginia to make these purchases. I mean, to look at the fact that the state of Virginia is also left out the loop, but Pepco doesn't supply the energy. So I understand on the technical piece why it's not being offered in Virginia, with the dealership being physically in Virginia. To say to the people in the District of Columbia, "You don't have any dealerships there," that's asinine. I don't try sugarcoat it on this platform here. Solely now and the future, with its economic impact on Black America. And the reason why is because the District of Columbia, as a city government, performs city, county, and state as all three functions. They also have a zero-based emissions legislation in place. So if you're taking your car to the emissions inspection in the District of Columbia and you're dealing with zero-based emissions, then you're looking at the fact that you may be put in a position, if that vehicle won't pass inspection, to look into purchasing a electric vehicle, a hybrid electric vehicle, because you want to be in compliance with what's coming down the road. If you're going to buy a vehicle, you want to buy a vehicle that you know, if you're going to be using that just to do local travel, and as they improve the range on this vehicle, the basic problem I have there with this Nissan Leaf is in talking with some guys who have purchased these vehicles, and they are in the commercial business, they're cab drivers, you get about 100 miles per charge, and that ain't going to cut it for commercial vehicles. And if you got to drive, I spent 44 years as an independent owner-operator of a taxi cab in the District of Columbia, and I know what kind of havoc this can play if you're trying to operate this vehicle in the marketplace for commercial reasons. You can run up 100 miles one trip. So where are you then? Because you definitely have not done a whole lot of work. You take a trip from the District of Columbia to Fredericksburg, Virginia, or Frederick, Maryland, a round trip, you got 100 miles already. You run, you sit inside the road somewhere, you got to recharge this, the charge. So you got to stop working and charge this vehicle. And it's creating anxiety among these guys who have purchased these new Nissan Leaf electric vehicles from Nissan and put them into the taxi cab industry. Now, that's just fact. That's not my opinion. That's not my what I thought I heard. This is what I got from speaking to drivers who own these vehicles that have put them into the DC taxi cab industry in the District of Columbia, because we have reached out for Mr. Ernest Chaffee, who is the chairperson of the so-called new vehicle for hire agency known traditionally as the DC Taxi Cab Commission, to come on our show also and talk about this electric vehicle program that they supposedly had funded, giving $10,000 to $5,000 grants out to drivers with no questions asked. When I had Mr. Thomas Corbin on the show last week, he called in and said, look, that really wasn't a grant. That money came from the drivers, because we've been kicking in to these assessment funds all these years, and I know that for a fact because I spent 44 years in the industry, and I contributed an awful lot of money into those assessment funds and had to leave the industry with absolutely nothing because of the paradigm shift in technologies. Can we say app? Can we say Lyft? Can we say Uber? Can we say Pink Mustache? Can we say Sidecar? There are a proliferation of companies parading as, we are not transportation companies, we just provide an app which links the consumer with the service provider. That's a bunch of hogwash. If you're in the transportation industry and you're picking up a person from point A, taking them to point B, and you're charging them a fair structure, a fee for transporting them, you're in the transportation business. How they've gotten around it is, can we say, lobbyists, and how deep are your pockets, and can you afford to contribute to ex-politicians' election campaign? Now, we're going to keep it real on this program, because I sat in the original hearings when the first representative from Uber came to Washington, D.C., and made a presentation in front of Mary Shea and the full council. And the way he talked to them was like they were stepchildren. But I see they got what they wanted. After they sit down behind the scenes and talk turkey. And guess who was the turkey? Gobble, 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 gobble. If you're a resident of the District of Columbia or a consumer in of electricity in D.C., the turkey wasn't the only damn thing in the oven. We try to keep it plain here on this platform called Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. So when we begin to drill down on this rebate program, what's in it for D.C. residents? Now, we're going to take another pause for the calls, and we're going to take a little pay some bills around this place, and we're going to come back and...
Life is a song worth singing.
I do too.
Sing it. Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
I got you.
Sing it.
Remember that the call-in number for this show is 646-668-2948. That's 646-668-2948. And please remember to press 1 on the phone on your dial-in pad after calling the call-in number. Now, this show is brought to you every week by the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. And you join us, and if you listen to us, you know the slogan for this show. If it's power in numbers, then the PCPC, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC, captures that power for your financial benefit. Now, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative is a blueprint for economic self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African American solar installation companies, to address the high energy effects of at our historically black colleges and universities. When you go on any college campuses, whether it's a historically black college or not, you find out their number one expenditure after staff salaries at a university is their energy cost. That's a fixed cost. That's number two line item. Wherever you go. To address, as I said, the high energy cost effects at our historical black colleges and universities, to utilize black-owned farmlands, HBCU campuses, to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under an unemployment rate of our young African-American millennial men and women now in the first workforce. Also, to educate the black community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and its need for environmental education in the black community through black radio talk programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on black America. This show is also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLS FHBCU Solar and Radio Talk Show Initiative. And I must take the time to let you know that that website is quite dated, but we will be making some upgrades in the very, very near future to that website. The show is also brought to you by Scotton Communications Network, specializing in the following areas: public relations, writing, editing, web development, web editing, magazine production online, and traditional newspaper production online, and traditional speech writing, book writing, editing and publishing, speaker bureau management, and that contact information is SCOTTON, Scotton Communications Network.com, and that contact person is Dr. Gwendolyn Scotton Bethay. Now, we realize every week as we try to bring you news that you can definitely use on this platform that people have a lot to do. It's a lot going on. Every time you turn around, somebody else trying to tell you about something. But nothing is more basic than paying your utility bills. And if you're in the District of Columbia, you need every break you can get. That is why we went into the process of talking about this rebate program offered by Nissan and CoNDC, which I reached out to them about this rebate program. And they, in fact, said, oh, we'll get back to you. Well, I'm not going to hold my breath for them to get back to me. So I reached out to the People's Council this morning, and I spoke with a young lady at the People's Council here in the District of Columbia. And if you don't know who the People's Council is in the District of Columbia, they have and are responsible for looking out for the interests of the D.C. ratepayers. And I thought that this was a consumer issue that needs to be brought to their attention. And this indicated that they would look into this matter. And I'm going to hold them to that because I'm going to let them know that I am the type of individual, we don't talk it, we walk it. The young lady said, oh, I think I met you down at the Public Service Commission at one of the meetings. Yeah, you probably did, because I take the time to go out and cover these things. That's why I can speak to these issues, because we go to them and we participate in the process. Because that was the first thing she said to me. Well, they had you had an opportunity to submit something to PEPCO in comments. I said, I already did. When I went down and took my time, and I made sure I got a copy of that, and what I had to say is noted in those records, and I have a copy of that in my office. So we made sure that we weighed in on this whole issue surrounding this issue of these electric vehicles in the District of Columbia, because it makes no sense to me to say to people, you know, you got to show up with a flyer to be able to take advantage of this $5,000 special rebate program. But hell, who knew about this program? The Greater Washington, D.C. State of Maryland Electric Vehicle Workshop, which was put on July 12, 2018 by PEPCO. Now, I stepped this game up here, which most of you who follow this show and follow what I do on this show, we send advertising packages out to PEPCO. Now, PEPCO has the right to say no, which they did. They said this show or this format didn't figure into their strategic plan at the present time. But if you're having a workshop and you want to ask DC Rail's events to spend $15.5 million for infrastructure, and you're the ones going to make money off selling the electricity, the dealership's going to make money for selling the cars, and the manufacturer's going to make money for making them. And you're not willing to advertise on WOL radio when I have a slot from 10 to 11 set aside, but I got to raise $62K to pay for it for a year. So if you want to get this information out to your consumer base, which are your ratepayers, it would seem like this would be the show that you'd be advertising on. Nobody else is talking about energy every week and the impact it has specifically on the black community. That's why this show is called Solar Now and the Future with this economic impact on black America. So I'm going to close on this note. We hope that we brought to you news that you can definitely use. Until we go in peace till next week, we'll say, we think if you listen to this show that you got some information that you can definitely use. So pass the word about this show We come on in.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan.